here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like and subscribe button right down there. So great big show planned for you guys today. We have an intriguing looking Monday night football game with a lot of good looking betting opportunities. We got a lot to discuss in the world of college football. Brad Powers will be here at maybe at around the 20 minute mark. And then the NBA, absolutely a loaded schedule here tonight. No games tomorrow because of the election. John Mettler will be here in the third segment of the show. Five total bets in the association. So if you guys want to get involved in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube on X. What do you like in Monday Night Football tonight? What do you like in the week coming up here in college football? What do you like in the NBA? Let us know what you like and why you like it, and we will read a few off throughout the course of the show. Okay, let's get right into it. Let's get into the NFL with our guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all sports betting, Jingles. So Jingles, I go 2-3 with my picks here on Friday's show from the NFL. So the hot streak comes to an end. And one of those bets last night, I haven't had many bets this season where just everything goes wrong and it's a wire-to-wire loser right off the bat. But I had the over in the Sunday night football game last night. Colts off to a good start, charging up the field. They get inside the 30. They fumble. And I say, well, that's not good for the over bet. Vikings get the ball back. Sam Darnold goes up the field, throws a pick right into the end zone. This bet's almost dead, I'm thinking. Field goal kicker on the Vikings misses two field goals in the first half. So that was, yeah, that was not a pleasant watch. How did your betting go here over the weekend?
Stuff on the show went 2-for-2. No TDs. TDs were hard to come by for me this week. Josh Downs gets his sixth reception on that, what was it, fourth and 16, like the last completion for Joe Flacco last night. So we'll take that one. Rico Dowdle had to run the ball. Dallas is still absolutely brutal. I got a little lucky in the New England game, got that cover for my pick six. That was absolutely gorgeous. Drake May with the second longest time to throw of the year behind Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary. That was a pretty one. Not a lot to get excited for Patriots fans, but that was at least fun until he threw the ball to the other team in overtime. 4 o'clock, like that Seattle ending was bananas. Geno Smith is done.
The Rams.
He got that TD. He got it there, but took 7 sacks, 2 picks in the red zone. He was brutal. I don't like Seattle at all. I am in the dumps in Seattle.
Okay, a bunch of action in the live chat here. Troy in there, he says he likes you over in the LSU game this weekend. LSU, Alabama, primetime, Saturday night. Cannot wait for that one. Magic Cap says, Stackman, welcome to the show. 10P kids in there as well who had over 0.5 rushing yards for Joe Flacco. Still did not cash. Yeah, Flacco not too keen to take off with the football. Okay, a little bit of a recap here of what we saw yesterday. Then we're going to get into our picks for Monday Night Football. We have 6 total, so let's start like we always do, our biggest winners and losers. Let's be positive here at the start. My 3 biggest winners of the week. My biggest winner of the week here is the Detroit Lions. I think they cemented themselves as the best team in the NFL yesterday. Yes, I know the Chiefs are undefeated, but I think the quality of the wins here for the Lions much higher than the quality of the wins for the Chiefs. So look at the situation yesterday. Maybe you could have argued that the Lions were due for a bit of a letdown spot. Well, it certainly didn't come yesterday. An indoor team, shitty conditions, tough environment against a division rival who smacked them when they played last time on Thanksgiving last year. No problem. Easy win for the Lions. They were up 24-6 in the fourth quarter of that game. They go to Houston this week coming up on Sunday Night Football. Looking forward to that one. My second biggest winner, the Buffalo Bills. You ever hear when people are breaking down a game and they say, whoever has the ball last is going to win? I think that sums up the Buffalo Bills pretty good. How many times have we seen this? I've seen it a lot as a Miami Dolphins fan. The Buffalo Bills, they get the ball inside of 2 minutes. Josh Allen drives them up the field. They score a game-winning touchdown or sets them up to win a field goal. He set them up to win with a field goal yesterday. Tyler Bass, 61-yarder. So this is very important. The Bills now have a 4-game lead in the AFC East. And that's huge insane. Because the schedule gets pretty tough. In 2 weeks, they go on a four-game run against the Chiefs, 49ers, Rams, and the Lions. They face those teams in a four-week period starting here soon. Last three games of the season, Patriots twice, and they host the Jets. So the Bills, if they can stay healthy here, they look set for the playoffs, looking good for them. And Saquon Barkley, how about this guy? 199 total yards, 2 touchdowns, an elite highlight in a week full of elite highlights this week. This spin move into the reverse huddle, just completely embarrassing Jaguars defenders. And running backs everywhere should be thanking this guy. People don't like to pay running backs anymore, right? And I know he didn't get paid a ton here by the Eagles, but they signed him to this deal, and it's really paying off for them. So good for Barkley, stuffing the stat sheet once again. Jingles, who are your three biggest winners of the week or of the day yesterday?
I got to go with the Falcons. I got to show the Falcons a little love, especially Kirk Cousins, too. I mean, 4-0 straight up versus the division. It's not a great division, let's be honest, but it's still 4-0, and it gets you to where you are. 5-1 straight up in their last 6. Cousins has come out. Now he's the betting favorite for comeback player of the year. The Drake London injury, if you didn't watch it, it didn't look that scary. He kind of just landed on his hip heavily. He was out of the game, so it's obviously a deal, but it looks like something he can come back from. There's still other good pieces within that. You're seeing guys like Drake Mooney put up big lines. So that offense is rolling. Next up, Lamar Jackson. Now, this is the preface. If you want to buy Lamar Jackson for MVP, this is your last week. He faces the Bengals next week, so he's going to put up 800 total yards, and then that will really push it. But he's coming off his fourth of his career, perfect passer rating. He didn't even rush for 10 yards. But I think in this sense where Henry is also looking fantastic, that it could take away from some of his MVP prowess, but you got to give the man props. He's becoming a hell of a passer. Don't know if it will translate to the playoffs or versus the Chiefs, but as it is now, that's where it is. And my last winner, let's go the Cardinals. We were laughing that Kyler Murray couldn't win two games. And now all of a sudden he's ripped off 3. The defense is looking good. They made Caleb Williams look pretty silly last week, and there's a lot of pieces within that offense. James Conner's a very good running back. There's depth with Air Mercado in the back end there. There's passing options within that offense, and they're first in the division. This is how it comes down. Jets, Seattle, Minnesota, Seattle, New England, Carolina, Rams, San Francisco. So they still got a lot of division games left, but this team could certainly finish atop of those standings.
Yeah, people in the live chat right now pointing out that Tua's passing yard prop is probably the biggest loser of the week. I think that might be the funniest bad beat of all time. Sometimes, you know, things go down to the wire and you lose them. But he was comfortably over his passing yard total. Then the Dolphins are out of time. They're trying to do some tricky bullshit at the end. He throws the ball to Achane, and then he laterals it to Waddle, who loses like 27 yards. So that ends up counting.
How is it Tua's yardage, right?
Because it counts as a passing. The play started as a pass, right? So yeah. I guess I do understand. I don't. It's unfortunate for people who lost a bet, but that counts as a pass, right? So I don't know if any of you guys watching the show right now actually bet Tua to go over his passing yard total, but that was an absolute savage beat.
Joe Burrow is a winner. I didn't get him on the list. I mean, but it was versus Vegas. So let's pump the brakes until we see where Joe Burrow is. But he's starting to move up. That team would be nothing. And it was nice to see them do it without Higgins, I believe, in the lineup too. So whatever.
Yeah, be careful of the Bengals, man.
That's it. I lost again on them. I lose every week. I got the Raiders at 7.5. And I'm like, they're just not a team that can win to margin because of that defense is so bad. They still gave up 24 points to Vegas, who was throwing Desmond Ridder at the end of the game. I still don't trust him. I can't trust them, and I can't trust Cleveland. Those are the two teams I can't trust right now.
Okay, let's get negative. Let's have some fun. The biggest losers of the week. The biggest loser of the week, no shock here, the New Orleans Saints. They're such a loser that they fired their head coach here this morning, Dennis Allen, now on the unemployment line. So remember in weeks 1 and 2, when the Saints won both games and scored a combined 91 points. Well, they haven't won a game since. 7 straight losses. It doesn't get much worse than losing to the Panthers. They had a lead in that game with a little bit more than 2 minutes left, too. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a blessing in disguise, though, for the Saints. They brought Derek Carr in to be a Band-Aid. It's obviously not working. This team needs a total reset. Now they're going to go into it. The last thing, you know, as a Saints fan, that you would have wanted this team to go 9-8, you know, run it back with Carr, run it back with Allen. Now they get to start over here. So I think probably a blessing in disguise. Maybe go into a little bit of a tank mode. They're going to need a quarterback. Second biggest loser, we're going to pair two together, the Packers and Bears offenses. So the Packers at home versus an indoor team, shitty conditions. They didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter of that game. And I'm going to tell you guys, the Green Bay Packers very well might be frauds. And I'll say it again, we might have anointed Jordan Love a little bit too early. He's only had a quarterback rating above 100. One game all season. Everyone fell in love with this guy because he had a really good second half last season. Did pretty good in the playoffs too, but he might not be as great as everyone thinks he is. Meanwhile, the Bears have scored 24 points in their last two games against the Commanders and the Cardinals, two teams who are probably in the bottom third in the NFL defensively. 9 points yesterday, 3 for 14 on third down. Now 31st in the NFL on third down, and they're not ready to make a push for the playoffs. They can't even beat average teams at this point. So not looking too good for the Bears. And my third biggest loser of the week, Trevor Lawrence. I think that this guy is the biggest con artist in NFL. We kill quarterbacks every single week in the NFL. You know, we can't wait to destroy Dak. We can't wait to destroy Aaron Rodgers. No one's ever going to give Daniel Jones a pass when he plays badly. But here we have Trevor Lawrence just flying under the radar every single week of the season. And he's been bad. It's year four. Trevor, you're out of excuses here, bud. You have everyone convinced that it's always somebody else's fault. Urban Meyer, he doesn't have enough weapons. Now it's Doug Peterson's fault. And I'll tell you why Trevor Lawrence is the biggest con artist in the NFL, because he convinced the Jaguars to pay him before everyone figured out that he is a complete and total bust. We were told this guy was a can't-miss prospect. Guess what? He's missing. Yesterday, 169 passing yards, a completion percentage of 51.5%, two interceptions. This guy's not even a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Let's stop kidding ourselves. Jingles, your three biggest losers of the week.
I had to bring it up on my phone because I did screenshot Trevor Lawrence at half. It was like Daniel Jones at half and Dak at half. Like, there were some really bad first half in neutral game script quarterback performances. Trevor Lawrence, down 16-0 after the first half. 4 for 10 for 23 yards, an interception, a sack, and an 8.3 quarterback rating.
He's not good.
No, that's rough. That's right.
Like, if he was drafted, I said this, I think, last season. I said, if Brock Purdy was drafted first overall, everyone would just think he's awesome and just, you know, not really question his play. If Trevor Lawrence was picked in the sixth round, he might have been benched by now already. You know what I mean? So it's this perception of, hey, he was the first overall pick for 2 years coming into the league. We were told how awesome this guy is. He isn't. It's the fourth year. Out of excuses.
They've insulated him with weapons, right? Like draft capital with Brian Thomas, right? They brought in people like Gabe. There's a lot to like about the pieces that they have, and he's been put in a spot, and they've done absolutely nothing. Another team that's really hard to touch at all. Losers. Mine's Dennis Allen. I had this before he got fired. I had to put this list together first thing this morning. It is tough. 0-7 straight up in their last seven games, minus 85 point differential, bottom five defense and success in EPA, bottom five offense and success in EPA. Right now, after the Chris Olave injury, that was another scary one. There are a few of those headshots yesterday that were way too aggressive. Wide receivers healthy on this team right now. Tipton, Cedric Wilson, Jermaine Jackson, and MVS right now because of injuries to Olave, Bubba Means, and Raheed Shaheed. And Jamal Williams and Kendra Miller are also out. So we could be seeing a lot more who I'll be looking to bet some props, total yard props. Taysom Hill going forward, he's going to be catching the ball. He's going to be running the ball. They don't need to do anything here. Taysom Hill, just keep eating some yards. Team's brutal. Moving on. 2-0 seems like a lifetime ago that you'd mentioned it. Daniel Jones, you want to talk about a first half? 4 for 6. 0 yards. 1 pass TD. Ask me how that's possible. First time in a half that that's ever happened since 1978. If you watch the Giants game, you just see, maybe you see Daniel Jones's final numbers. You're like, oh, okay, kind of respectable. But this offense is so afraid to pass the ball with Daniel Jones in neutral game script. And Tracy looks great, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, this is a team that paid Daniel Jones and now is afraid to pass the ball until they're trailing. It's absolutely awful. And he's done just enough in that fraud sense. I know we might have different terms of the sense fraud, but he's tricked people into paying him. And then he got that amazing rushing touchdown where he absolutely leveled Buddy and he got in and he was super pumped. There's just enough out of Daniel Jones to keep them going back for more because of his skill set. Not a great passer. Finally, the Seahawks. Absolutely hate the Seahawks. Geno, if he didn't get that game-tying touchdown at the end, we'd be saying a lot worse things. He had 2 picks in the red zone in that game, took 7 sacks, fumble that he recovered. Seattle, just in general, that defense gave up way too much, 12 penalties and 3 turnovers. 4th and 1 in overtime, Joe, and you go for it within field goal range. Talk to me about that one. I don't get it. They got to face the 49ers, Cardinals, Jets, Cardinals, Packers, Vikings, Bears, Rams. This team is going to finish last in the division.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of teams going to be looking to reset at the quarterback. There's a couple of real obvious ones, and we know the Saints and the Seahawks are kind of in limbo here. I would say they have Band-Aids at quarterbacks now. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. Seahawks here with Geno, my Dolphins. Oh. They're not going to – somewhat they should trade Tua. No one's taking Tua on in a trade. He has an enormous contract. The guy's a ticking time bomb. Still a really good quarterback. I think he was 22 of 25 on his passes yesterday. But the Dolphins are going to have to draft the quarterback unless they trade for, you know, maybe they can bring Daniel Jones as their backup. I would take that. You know, they should have went and got Joe Flacco, for God's sake.
Where's the line here? Now, I'll put you on the spot because we haven't talked about this previously. Where's the line of, like, good to great quarterbacks and, like, where's the drop-off? Like, is Jordan Love there for you or no? He's not, right? Like, he's not on that list.
He's good. He's absolutely good. But people, you know, he got anointed and got paid too soon. I think he had a good second half of the season and a decent run there in the playoffs. Then all of a sudden he's becoming the highest paid quarterback of all time in the NFL. Like, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then now we have him, like we saw him yesterday. He's struggling a bit. He's struggling to stay healthy. So we're seeing these situations where Love's getting paid a lot of money. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, like, these guys shouldn't be getting these massive contracts that Lamar and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are getting. And it's backfiring on these teams. It's backfired on the Giants tremendously. They're handcuffed by Daniel Jones. That's their excuse, right? So it's crazy.
Now we got Bryce Young making game-winning touchdown drives, and he heads overseas next week to take that. That's going to be – I saw your tweet. That's going to be an awful game Sunday morning, no?
It will be the straw that will break the camel's back. If your relationship with your girlfriend or wife is on the rocks, if you choose to spend your Sunday morning watching Giants-Panthers in Germany, be prepared to end your relationship. Like, that's not a good excuse to take time away from your family. I know we love football, but that's pretty rough. And I'm seeing some smart asses in the chat here. John Mettler says Dolphins are going to trade for Trevor Lawrence. That would make no sense. He's being a smart ass. If they did do that, that would give me an out, though, to say, like, I'm no longer a fan of the Miami Dolphins. So, hey, maybe that will happen. Maybe that will be the best case scenario. Okay.
More good QBs or more good coaches before we get on to the next thing? I go QBs.
I think, yeah, I would go QBs probably as well. All right, let's get into Monday Night Football here.
You have 800 picks. I love it.
I have 800 picks for this game. I plan on usually doing, I'll do a sider total and a prop, but I looked at the board here. There's four bets that I really makes. Like, so I got 4 picks to give out. So you got 2. I'll get us started here. We're going to start things off with going over the full game total. I think we're in for a fun one, over 45.5. I think this total is too low. So check out these Bucks games here lately. they're going over, and they're going over by a lot. Five straight overs for them. Average combined score of 64.4 in those games. Three of these five games saw 66 or more combined points. Their defense stinks. They're 30th in yards allowed per play. So I think you can expect Kansas City to be up for this game. Monday Night Football on their home field. They're not going to have any issues whatsoever moving the football. These offenses are both great at moving the football on third down, first and second in the league in third down conversion percent. So maybe not a whole lot of punting. And this one, Tampa Bay's offense, really good in the red zone, third in the NFL. And both offensive lines doing a fantastic job of protecting the quarterbacks. Bucs allowing the fourth lowest pressure percentage. KC has allowed the second fewest sacks. So I think this game sets up decently for both quarterbacks and will go over 45 and a half. Jingles, Rashad White, what do you like for him?
I like that he doesn't have to run the ball as much and he can catch the ball a lot more now with Bucky Irving looking like the better running back. Both backs getting a lot of work. They had 13 total targets last week in that spot without their receiver. So since he's come back from injury, 109 receiving yards in just two games. He's coming off a high in routes run, so he's getting that opportunity a lot more. We saw that Bucky Irving had the better catching line last week, but going forward, it should be White just because of the volume that he's running. And in that spot, there's just a wild amount of injuries to this Tampa Bay receiving core, who is now, I mean, Sterling Shepard is questionable, hamstring. Jalen McMillan, questionable with hamstring. And that one worries me more because it was popped up late on the Friday. So that could have been injured, on the Saturday. That could have hit late. And it's going to take a little longer to get back from that one. So at the end of the day, this could be a team that's running like Trey Palmer and Ryan Miller as wide receiver one and two in this game. So your boy Cade Otton could have big games and expect both of these backs to get a lot of run in the passing game today.
Okay, next up for me, I like these longest completion props over, under. We're going to go under for Baker here. Longest completion under 35 and a half yards. Baker Mayfield absolutely having a good season here. But this long passes haven't exactly been in his bag here this season. He's gone under this in six of eight games. He ranks 34th in the NFL, just 3.7 air yards per attempt. He doesn't air out a lot of deep balls. And to bring this one all together, Kansas City has been elite at limiting the deep pass play. They rank first in the NFL in pass plays of 20-plus yards allowed. So we'll take Baker to go under that number. Jingles, you're taking a big swing here. I need to double-check this one when you submitted it here this morning. Break it down. Ryan Miller, first TD. Tell us about this one.
There's not much to tell you about other than it's plus 6,600, which is, here's your lottery of the day. Why not? But we don't know. So this is a tough game, just a handicap, especially at this point, what to do with the other receivers. We're seeing in the chat, someone says Palmer over tonight. Yes, Palmer and Miller could be wide receivers one and two if Sterling and McMillan sit. That's the big thing. So Sterling Shepard probably is going to be the more probable of the two from what I'm reading, but they both could play. But even if they both play, this was a team that ran 11 personnel at 81% last week, even with the injuries to Evans and Godwin. So they're still happy to run out three wide receiver sets. Miller came out there 41% snap share last week. He had five targets and you can't run against the Chiefs. BetMGM's got the price here. That's where we're shopping this. It's a different price in other places. He's 11-1 for a TD, if that's the way you want to go. But it's not often you can see 66 or just anywhere in that range of first touchdown props. We're kind of in that range where we saw Thursday night, buddy Mordecai Corley. We saw some of those at 150-1 when he dropped the ball going into the end zone. If I lost 151-1 first TD bet on a play like that, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, you'd have to retire from betting, I think, if you lost that one. Okay, two quickies for me here. Then we'll go to Brad for college football. Kareem Hunt, over 62 and a half rush yards. I love this one. So Tampa Bay stinks against the run here, guys. 31st in yards allowed per rush attempt. He's only played four games here, but he's getting a lot of work. He has averaged 77 yards per game. He had a season-high 102 in his lone home game so far this season. He's had 21 or more carries in three straight games. Not a whole lot of competition here in the Chiefs' backfield. Last week against the Raiders, Carson Steele was the only other running back on the Chiefs to get a carry. He only had two. So I think Hunt will have a good opportunity to have a big game here against the Bucs. And we're going to go to my guy. Jingles alluded to this one. Kate Otten. We're going to go over 53.5 receiving yards for him. This one looks great on paper. Sometimes when they look great on paper, they don't work out. But this one looks too good on paper. So how about a little bit of goddamn respect here for Otten? 53.5 yards. What is his number? He's had 81 and 100 receiving yards in his last two games. He is Baker Mayfield's new best friend. 17 catches on 20 targets in his last two games. Tampa Bay a little low on receiving options. You might have heard about that. And to bring it all together here, the Chiefs are actually awful at defending the tight end position. They're pretty good overall defensively, but they're allowing 80.8 yards per game to tight ends. That's one of the worst marks in the NFL. P-Bostana likes it. Mark S. likes Otten anytime touchdown, plus 210. Not a bad price. He's getting a lot of looks here. That does it. Jingles, we'll send you on your way here. But before we do, tell us what else you have going on here at Covers this week. You're a busy man.
Oh, 11 hockey games tomorrow, I believe, too, today. So throwing some snacks today. More hockey tomorrow. No basketball for you guys tomorrow. So that will be interesting. You'll be on the hockey beat. But I'll be back with Maybe. Carlo Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, doing puck props at 10 o'clock live. But if this game goes as planned, right? Hunt, 20 carries, 100 yards. Kate Otten in garbage time, 10 catches, 100 yards, a TD. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, a lot of points. Let's see it. Looks like a decent game here from a betting perspective. All right, Jingles, thanks again for joining. Best of luck with those picks, and we'll catch you on Thursday.
Yep, take care.
All right, guys, close to 1,200 people watching live now on YouTube and X. Very active live chat. Keep it coming. The man that a lot of you guys are here for is here now. Let's go down to sunny Las Vegas. Our guy, Brad Powers. Brad, how are we making out?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
Indeed. Okay, so Brad coming off a 3-1 week last week with his best bets. Rounding in the form here as we approach the stretch run of the season, 28-22 with best bets overall. On the season, let's start like we always do on your Monday appearance. Take two, your biggest two takeaways from the week that was.
I think you got to start with the biggest game of last weekend, that being the Ohio State-Penn State game. You got to be impressed with Ohio State. They win the line of scrimmage. They're down 10-0. They throw a pick six early. They're able to rally and control that football game for the final 50 minutes. Particularly, you got to be impressed with their offensive line. Banged up, had to move several guys around, particularly on the left side. And I just thought, if you're looking for what a championship team does, it's you get the ball back inside your own 5-yard line after you're stopping Penn State on a fourth down. And you go on 11-play, 58-yard drive in the final 5 minutes, all runs, all behind that banged up offensive line. You run out the clock. You win a big game on the road. That's what it looks like as far as a true blue national title contender. So you got to be impressed with Ohio State. The other thing is, boy, not a good weekend for the ACC and Big 12. It's looking more and more like both conferences are going to be one-bid leagues. I mean, you had three favorites in the league lose outright as a double-digit favorite. Clemson loses to Louisville. Iowa State loses, obviously, to Texas Tech. And Kansas State loses to Houston. Again, all as double-digit favorites. I mean, I don't see a pathway unless, we get some more upsets. And particularly in the championship game where these conferences are getting multiple bids.
Okay, Brad, let's take a look at the National Championship Futures odds board. It's pretty tight here. Ohio State, number one now, plus 330, followed by Georgia, plus 425. Oregon, plus 425 as well. And Texas, plus 500. So we saw Penn State try to leapfrog Ohio State, try to steal their spot. It wasn't to be. Do you think any other team has an opportunity to crack the top four here by the end of the regular season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, those are my top four teams in my power rankings easily. So I just don't see it as of now. But again, I didn't have those three teams in the ACC and the Big 12 losing outright last week either. But I do think there's an opportunity to diversify your portfolio this week. Obviously, there's quite a few big games, but the two in particular are in the SEC. If you like Ole Miss to upset Georgia, and they're only a 2.5-point home underdog right now, I think you also need to bet them to make the playoff in your portfolio this week, because you look at their remaining schedule. They beat Georgia. They're going to be a significant favorite in their final couple games. If you like someone in the Alabama-LSU game to win, you got to bet them to make the playoff as well, because the winner of that game, again, is going to be favored in the remaining games and very likely at 10-2 to be in the college football playoffs. So I think just diversify your portfolio off those two big games. But are any one of those three teams national title contenders? No, I mean, there's a reason why they all have two losses right now.
Okay, so we have a pretty similar theme with the Heisman futures odds board. We have four definitive guys at the top here, then a pretty big gap. So Cam Ward plus 200, Travis Hunter plus 220, Dylan Gabriel plus 290, and Ashton Jeanty plus 500. Then a big drop off to Jackson Dart, 16-1. Can anyone outside of those top four make a run at the award at this point of the season?
I don't think so, but it has become a November award. You know, you play the biggest, the best in the biggest game. So, you know, maybe there's a pathway for a Jackson Dart. I mean, he just threw 500 plus yards and six touchdowns last week. He has a similar performance and Ole Miss beats Georgia this week. He can maybe creep up that board and get in the mix as far as getting an invite. Curtis Rourke's got a big opportunity the next two games for them against Michigan and Ohio State. If he puts up big numbers, say Indiana wins both games, then he has an opportunity to at least be in New York. So those would be the two, but they need to both have significant big games against big competition. Their teams need to win out. And even then, I don't even know if they'll win the Heisman. So am I running the window to bet anybody outside the top four right now? Hell no.
Okay, the team we're going to focus on this week in terms of the odds for will they or won't they make the playoff, SMU, who I called St. Mary's on Friday's show, and somebody called me out for that. I'll tell you why I called them St. Mary's. Up here in Nova Scotia, one of the most popular universities is St. Mary's University, and we called them SMU. So when I see SMU, I associate that with St. Mary's University here in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So my bad on that one. That's why I called them that. But anyhow, SMU has crept all the way up to plus 100 odds here to make the playoffs, Brad. Six straight wins. They obliterated Pitt last week. They were up 48-11 late in the game. Pitt scored two garbage time touchdowns. So good bet or bad bet, plus 100 for SMU to make the playoff.
So let me preface by saying I love SMU. Bet them over their win total. Had them as the best bet last week. I like this team quite a bit. Would not make this bet. I think it's a bad bet. Even because number one, you got to keep in mind, the college football playoff is a TV show. SMU is not a big name brand. So in order to make the playoff, they got to win out, in my opinion. That includes the ACC championship game. The good news for SMU is they're going to be favored by at least 7 points in the remaining three regular season games. But it's not like all three are slam dunks, probably between 7 and 14 points, all three games. So, I mean, there's a possibility they could get beat in one of those three. Even not. They go to the ACC championship game, say they lose, 11-2 SMU against a 10-2 SEC team. I'm taking the SEC team or the Big Ten team. I would not be making that bet right now. They're going to be, even if they go to the ACC championship game and say play Miami, they're going to be like a 4-point dog in that game. So I really think you get better odds if you just mechanical parlay.
Okay, Brad, let's get into best bets here. A couple under-the-radar games and a game full of big, week full of big games. We'll discuss most of those big ones on your Friday appearance, but let's get into these ones as South Florida, +3.5, taking on Navy. And you like South Florida to cover the number?
I do like South Florida here, and this probably isn't going to be popular because I'm fading the Surface Academies this week, but you know, South Florida +3.5. What am I seeing? Well, I'm seeing a team that's growing with a backup quarterback. Their starter has been out for a while. They got a couple of back-to-back wins. But more importantly, this is a play against Navy that's been exposed the last couple of weeks. They didn't play anybody to start the season worth a dang. They were number one in the country coming into the Notre Dame game as far as turnover margin. They haven't had the same turnover luck the last couple of games. What's happened? They've not met expectations by about a combined 8 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I'm not saying that'll happen again this week as far as them not covering the spread by 4 touchdowns, but all we need here is a 3-point Navy win or less, or an outright upset for South Florida. I like South Florida here.
Okay, now let's fade Army. You're going to take North Texas +6. Why do you think they can give them a game?
Multitude of reasons. I like the spot for North Texas. They're off a bye, extra time to prep for the option. And I don't mind fading an Army team that's starting to get overpriced in the market. How do I know that? Well, they haven't covered their last two games if you bet Army on versus the closing line. On top of that, Army's quarterback was out last week. Expectation is he's going to come back this week, but is he going to be 100%? It was a foot injury. He was in a walking boot all last week. So I just, you know, how competent he's going to be. Obviously, the Army quarterback, last I checked, runs the football. He's their leading rusher. He's the leading rusher of all quarterbacks in the country. I think there's undefeated pressure as you get further and further into November. Don't believe me. Look at all the unbeaten teams that lost last week as favorites. I like North Texas plus the 6 here. Is it going to be the absolute best number you can get? Maybe not. If he gets ruled in, I could see it going up. If he gets ruled out, you're going to have an amazing bet here because this line is going to drop several points. So I'm comfortable with it. I bet it at worse numbers already. I like North Texas to win outright. I'll call my shot. Ooh, they beat unbeaten Army this week.
Moneyline, a little bit of a swing there. Okay, Brad, we will leave it at that. But, of course, you're going to be right back with us on Friday's show. We're going to have some more best bets, I'm sure. We got a lot of big games to break down. So until then, best of luck with your handicapping here this week, and we'll catch you on Friday.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, let's keep rolling here. No NBA at all tomorrow because of the election. News to me. I had no idea that they were having an election. But yeah, so NBA will take the night off tomorrow as a result of that absolutely loaded schedule here tonight. So let's bring in our guy, the Magic Ass Man, John Mettler. How we doing?
Good. They put it, I think all 30 teams are playing tonight. Nobody plays tomorrow. And then all 30 teams play again on Wednesday. So no games tomorrow, but they gave us massive slates on either side of the election there.
Yeah, so let me ask you about this off the top before we get into our picks. So, you know, we're still relatively young into the season. Most teams, every team has played at least 5 games, some as many as 7. Probably the two biggest surprises, people thought the Milwaukee Bucks were probably going to come out swinging this season, considering how things ended for them last year. They're 1-5. They look like absolute dog shit to open the year. And surprises colliding, they're taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. The Cavs off to a fantastic start, 7-0. Do you think the Bucks are going to be able to turn this around? They just got to, you know, what's going on with this team? This is pathetic.
Yeah, it's just not. It's been weird the whole time. Like, even you go way back to last year when they traded for Damian Lillard and they shipped Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday was surprised. And fast forward more to this year. Like, there's even comments that Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't even hang out through the summer. They are like the weirdest pairing of superstars I think we've ever seen in the NBA. Like, usually when you sell your soul as a franchise to, you know, Giannis, obviously he deserves that. He got them a championship. But then when you sell to like make a trade like that, it's like two guys who are best friends. You know what I mean? Like the Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh team, like they were all really good friends. Like, it's just a weird, they don't have the secondary pieces. I mean, they are missing Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's a big piece of this team, but
yeah, he's old though, man. He's
he's always injured. Much, right? And like even the end of last game, when Donovan Mitchell hit the game winner, I tweeted, I was like, why the heck is Gary Trent Jr. guarding Donovan Mitchell and the ball? Like, one, I mean, you could probably put DeLon Wright on him. He's a better defender, but it also just kind of is their roster. Like, they don't really have anywhere to go. They sold out for the superstars, and the superstar thing is not working. I'm very
it's not going to work out. It's not. Oh, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know if they're going to, like, I think Lillard or Giannis are getting traded by the trade deadline. That's kind of how I feel. I don't know if they'll like completely blow it all up, and or they'll maybe they keep Lillard and then they just try to put different pieces around him. I don't really know what they're going to do. It's, but they got pieces like people will line up to take Brooke Lopez, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, they have the individual pieces. Like, even Gary Trent Jr. as a shooter, people will want him. So they could fire sale pretty well and like restock this pretty good. But it's a mess with them.
My prediction, we're going to want to clip this one. Giannis will get traded to the Houston Rockets. Maybe not this year, but I think it will be coming in the next 2 years. We heard about it in the offseason how horny Houston was to bring in a new superstar. They really wanted Kevin Durant, apparently. Don't be surprised. They got a bunch of young pieces there. That's a team that's ready to compete once again. And for the Bucks, we go back to what we said about this team last year. They made way too many moves here. I don't know if you call it a panic trade where they traded Drew Holiday, who Team USA, Olympic, they couldn't wait to get this guy on the roster, Drew Holiday. That's how coveted of a player he is. And that blew up in their face. He ends up going to the Celtics. And the firing of Mike Budenholzer, he maybe should have had a bit of a longer leash. You remember they exited that playoffs. It was Giannis, he missed, 2.5 games in that series versus the Heat? His brother just died. They should have probably given him another chance. And here we have the Phoenix Suns off to a 5-1 start with Budenholzer as their coach, right?
I do remember when they got eliminated. So 2 years ago, when they got eliminated by the Heat as the 1-8. And I remember Chris Middleton saying in a podcast that this was before they traded Drew. I think they hadn't fired Mike Budenholzer yet, but he had said that like Drew Holiday basically stood up and said, I will guard Jimmy Butler 1-on-1. It's my matchup type thing. And then obviously he got torched. And then Mike Budenholzer like supported it. So it kind of felt like they got rid of the two guys who stood in the locker room and supported that idea. The other thing too is when they traded Drew Holiday, I was always surprised. Like you said, USA's lining up to take Drew Holiday. If you're going to stab someone in the back, I thought it would be Chris Middleton, if we're being honest. Yeah. And then they talk about Bradley Beal, talked about there was a deal in place to send Bradley Beal from the Wizards to the Bucks for Chris Middleton, but he didn't like that they were stabbing him in the back. So he declined it. And then he went to the Suns. So that actually probably would be the better team, right? If they had Drew Holiday, Bradley Beal, and Giannis. But
yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's not going to work out. For the Milwaukee Bucks, and Giannis is going to ask out because that's the way it works in the NBA, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's get into some NBA picks here for tonight. We have five between the two of us. Get us started. DeMar DeRozan, what do you like for him?
Yeah, I went DeMar DeRozan over 3.5 assists, -130. These stats aren't necessarily like relevant because obviously he doesn't play for the Chicago Bulls anymore. But if you just look at his potential assists from last year when he was playing the Miami Heat, he played him five times during the regular season, but he averaged 13.3 potential assists per game. And then against everyone else, he averaged, I think, just over 10. So it's just, I'm just trying to use it to paint a picture of Eric Spoelstra. When DeRozan has the ball, obviously he's a mid-range assassin. When he starts driving the lane, they really collapse on him and he kicks out to three-point shooters. So it's not that those numbers aren't completely real. If he was getting 13 potential assists tonight, this number would be way higher than 3.5. He has a different role in the Sacramento Kings. It's just the point is Eric Spoelstra guards him a certain way. And when you're sitting this down at 3.5 -130, I really do like the over. He's playing heavy, heavy minutes. But even if you drop his minutes to like his lowest input, but like say like 33, 32, you still have an edge on this number. So that's really kind of what put me onto this bet. That's why I did really like it. Kevin Huerter, I think he is questionable with an illness, which will probably be more Malik Monk minutes. I mean, they're both shooters, but just another offensive piece that can like shoot and finish at the rim. So that should also help with the potential assists.
Okay, address something in the chat. Huskers 69. What's the 69 mean? He says Grizzlies Nets over 225.5. Let's hear it, Joe. I know you like it. I do like it. I didn't submit it as one of my best bets. There's a lot in the NBA to like here, but I did bet that up. 225. I made the same bet last week. It lost. I believe the total is 226 in the game when they played last Wednesday. It should have easily hit, but the Grizzlies scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, so I did go back to the well and bet that. My favorite bet in the NBA tonight, though, it comes in the same game Mettler was discussing here. Kings Heat in Miami. We're going to go under 225. For this one, I think a pretty good betting opportunity here. And I think something to take advantage of is that this number is really driven up by the Kings pounding some awful defenses lately. Much different teams than this Miami Heat team. This is the highest total in a Heat game this season. So the Kings just played the Raptors and the Hawks, two of the worst defenses in the NBA, both bottom third in points allowed and top five in pace. Meanwhile, the Heat, a much different type of team here. They're ranked 27th in pace and 5th in points allowed for the five Heat games so far this season have stayed under this number. And some red flags for each of these teams offensively. The Kings' three-point shooting has not been good. They are 26th in three-point percentage. The Heat not shooting it very well either, 22nd in EFG shooting percentage. So we will go under 225. And that one, like I said, it's the highest total for a Heat game this season, and I think it is too high for a Heat game. And I point this out, last week the Kings were the best under team on the road last season, so hopefully that can carry into this game tonight in Miami. Next up, let's talk Celtics Hawks. You have a prop, I have a play on the total. Derek White, what do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm going Derek White over 4.5 assists. So I played this on Saturday. His total was actually 3.5 on Saturday. I played the alt line at 5. He didn't get there. It cost me a unit on Saturday, but that doesn't change my opinion about coming back to this tonight. And one of the main reasons is Jaylen Brown is out. He was out on Saturday as well. He's out tonight. Obviously, you know, he can cut and dunk and finish at the rim. But a lot of the Celtics, if you're going to get over an assist total, a lot of that's going to come from someone knocking down threes. Like, you can get, obviously you'll get a couple assists off like a cutter and a dunk and stuff like that. But Jaylen Brown's jump shot, he's been struggling really bad with his three-point shooting. It has not been good. It might be part of the reason why he has missed last two games for an injury. Maybe something's affecting him there. But the flip of that is this means more Peyton Pritchard minutes, who shoots 44% from three. So in terms of like converting potential assists in this offense, that really helps. You also like, you know, Trae Young is obviously the most important person on the Atlanta Hawks and their offense. So Drew Holiday, Derek White, you just kind of expect their minutes to be there because they're going to be tasked with shutting him down. You shut down Trae Young, they'll beat the Atlanta Hawks. So in terms of just Derek White's minutes being secure, you really like that with that defensive matchup as well. So I went Derek White, lost it on Saturday, but I'm coming back to it. 4.5 plus 110.
All right, I'm going to go back to the well on a bet I made on Friday. Troy in chat says, a Hawks cannot defend the three. You're goddamn right they cannot, and that has a lot to do with my pick tonight. I'm going to take the Celtics to go over their team total. High number. Don't be scared of it, though. We're going to go over 122.5 for the Celtics team total. So this is a matchup between the Celtics, who are first in points per game, versus the Hawks, who are 28th in points per game allowed. The Celtics are averaging 123.7 points per game. The Hawks' defense is getting cooked by teams like the Wizards and Hornets. What do you think the Celtics are going to do to them tonight? So what is the path to going over this number? It will be from three-point land. The Celtics shoot more three-pointers than anybody in the league. The Hawks are dead last in opponent three-point percentage. And the motivation should absolutely be there for the Celtics tonight. They played the Hawks twice last season in March, and they lost to them twice in a four-game period. So maybe a little bit of a boring weekend set they played in Charlotte against the Hornets. So I think they're going to be motivated, be up to play for this one. They lost as a double-digit favorite in both of those games to the Hawks. They're going to be foaming at the mouth to get some revenge, John. They are going to be out for blood tonight. Okay, final pick of the show here. Bring it home for us. Kevin Durant, what do you like for him?
Yeah, when Kevin Durant over 3.5 assists plus 115, I think when you're just betting in general, I think certain superstar players, when you see certain numbers, you're just like, yeah, give this to me. I'll bet this for sure. And then 3.5 plus money. Like, I know Tyus Jones is there. Their offense is very similar to the Celtics, right? It's kind of a little more complex. If, like, no one's just dominating the ball. But the flip of that is, you know, you look at Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones, I think the other day had like 11 assists and he wasn't even doing anything spectacular. You just give the ball to Bradley Beal. They take one dribble, hit a mid-range jumper. Devin Booker, same thing. The one thing I do really like specifically to this matchup is Paul George is expected to play. So that kind of helps you. They're playing in Phoenix, so you're kind of nervous about a blowout with the 76ers because they're not a good team right now at all. So that helps. But I also like, because I'm pretty confident Paul George will be guarding Kevin Durant, and you got to stop Kevin Durant from turning and pulling his mid-range jumper. He's got to make the pass. So I think Paul George can do that. And Andre Drummond is also kind of someone who can get a little bit lost on defense. So without Joel Embiid protecting the rim, I do think that 3.5 plus 115, I do really like that for Kevin Durant tonight.
Bobby Newport Jr., last couple of meetings between Celtics and Hawks got pretty chippy. I love the C's to drop 130 plus. Yeah, I agree. I think that they could really go off tonight in this one. So, John, no NBA tomorrow. Hitman's going to be on the show. We'll give you the day off. I might commit, though, to making a couple NHL picks. We have a loaded NHL schedule. I have not made one NHL bet this season. I usually, you know, dabble in a little bit of NHL regular season betting. A lot going on, though, right now. Baseball just wrapped up last week, of course. But we need something to bet on. Those of us who do not give a shit about politics might need a bit of a distraction. So might get into some NHL tomorrow. If you guys bet hockey, join the show tomorrow. Come watch for Hitman, of course. We're going to get some of his early picks here for week 10 in the NFL. And come give us some help here with the hockey. Okay, recap of best bets here for tonight. I like a lot of Monday Night Football. I like the over 45.5. Mayfield longest completion under 35.5 yards. Kareem Hunt over 62.5 rush yards. Cade Otton over 53.5 receiving yards. That number is disrespectful. Jingles went with Rashad White over 23.5 receiving yards. And Ryan Miller, whoever that is, score the first touchdown at 66-1. NBA best bets, Kings Heat under 225. I love that one. Celtics team total over 122.5. Mettler likes Derek White over 4.5 assists. DeMar DeRozan over 3.5 assists. And Kevin Durant over 3.5 assists. Now, Mettler, as a fellow Canadian, this would have been on your radar this weekend. Vince Carter getting his number retired as a Toronto Raptor, the first Raptor ever to get his number retired. It was a pretty emotional scene, I guess. Carter broke down a couple times, once at a press conference, once on the court when the banner was going up. It was pretty cool to see his young son come over, race over to embrace his dad. I thought that was pretty cool. So as a Raptors fan, I hated Vince Carter for a while because he pretty much forced his way out of town. He lowered his trade value. It was an awful, I forget who, they traded him to the Nets for basically a bag of basketballs. Yeah. It was embarrassing, the return that they got for Vince Carter. But, you know, time goes on. I forgave the guy. He didn't like the situation he was in. I don't think he handled it correctly. I'm pretty sure he's admitted that as well. But I think pretty cool to see him get his number retired, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of those, like, a perfect example of time heals all. I think in sports, yes, that happens a lot, like a lot. Obviously, like, he was there for, what, 7 years? Like, that's a long time to spend 7 years of your life on a team. And I think it was pretty cool for Raptors fans to see how emotional he was about them supporting him, because it didn't end good. And they did boo him every time he returned and stuff. So he obviously did value his time there. One, I will say, that banner is the slickest banner I think I've ever seen for punching between the legs. Whoever came up with that idea, phenomenal. I mean, Vince Carter was, I'm going to show my age because I really don't remember the whole scenario because I was like 10.
I'm really showing my age. Yeah, he didn't like it because they were going through a situation where they went to a game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe, versus the 76ers. And he wanted them to bring in, I believe it was Julius Erving, to be the general manager of the team, or like to have some type of like upper tier management role. And they ended up bringing in Rob Babcock, who was a complete disaster as a general manager for the team. And Vince Carter, he wanted to be traded. They didn't want to trade him. And he just completely, totally tanked his value. I don't know, but if you go look at his career stats, you can pinpoint his last season with the Raptors.
Oh, yeah.
His numbers are just absolute brutal. But like I said, time heals all wounds. Yeah,
like,
it's just sports. He seems like a great guy too. So
I feel like there's like your age, obviously you really hold it against him, you know, the trade value, that stuff. But like for me as a kid, like I'm a 10-year-old, I have a Vince Carter purple jersey. It's like a kid's medium. It's one of the first jerseys I ever owned. I know him as like the NBA Live dunk champion, like all those things. So like to me, like he really put Canada basketball on the map. I didn't really, that stuff didn't bother me just because the age I was. So to see his jersey get retired, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that performance in the dunk competition, absolute electric stuff. Okay, Mettler, let us wrap up the show today. We're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be with us to discuss some of the big topics in the NFL and to give some of his best bets for week 10 of the season. So you're not going to want to miss that. And after that, probably do some hockey picks because there's no NBA to bet on here tomorrow. So you're going to want to tune in to check that out. Mettler will be back with us on Wednesday's show when we have another loaded slate of NBA action. So you want to check us out then as well. So thank you to all of my guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick, did a fantastic job producing the show today. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. Thank you to all the viewers for checking us out today. Best of luck with all your bets. We'll catch you again tomorrow.